We're turning God's Word tonight to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, we're going to read the first 20 verses of the chapter, and verse 12 is the text tonight. This is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the last chapter of that sermon, which begins in chapter 5 and goes through chapter 7. We read there, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Thus far we read God's Word. As I said, the text tonight is verse 12. "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." These words that we consider in Matthew 7, verse 12, have been called the Golden Rule. We know them by that heading, and that's part of the theme of the sermon tonight as well, the Golden Rule for loving the neighbor. We may wonder, why are these words called the Golden Rule? Well, they're called this because the Christian life can be boiled down essentially to this one law or command. Now, when I say that, that doesn't mean that we can get rid of all of the other commands of the Word of God and we only need to focus on this one. No, we need those commands. Those commands, for example, that God has given to us in His law and the many other commands that are found in the Scriptures, they are specific and we need those laws. For example, as children, we need to hear that law that we are to honor our parents. We are to obey our parents. And it's not just for children, it's for each one of us. We're to honor and respect and obey the authorities that God has put over us. We must hear the commands that God gives not to steal, that we must not lie, we must not commit adultery, we must not covet. Those commands are all important for us in our lives. But what we understand is that God does not give a law, a particular law, for every circumstance that we would face in our lives. We might like that. We might like it if God would give a particular law for everything that we could ever face, so we could go right to the Word of God and say, now God says, do exactly this. But there's not a law for that. Just to give one example, when our children fight, thinking of young children, they fight over a toy. There's no specific law that says what to do in that instance. Now, there are laws that speak to that, and the law that we look at tonight does. Sometimes we make up our own law. We ask, who had it first? Well, that's not a law that you find in God's Word. You can't go anywhere than say, God has given to us the principle of whoever has it first gets the toy. But instead, God gives to us a command that covers all of those things that aren't specifically covered by commands so that we know how to live and we can teach our children how to live. They're fighting over a toy. Well, what does Jesus say? Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 12, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And now, kids, as you're fighting over this toy, what does that mean for you right now? This is a law for instances like that. It's a command that Jesus gives to us in our homes. It's a command for our marriages. It's a command for our friendships. It's a command for our relationships with each other. It's a command for your children when you're at school and you're facing certain things, and maybe people even at school are mean to you and do mean things to you. And we're tempted to retaliate and do something back, but then we're reminded of the words of Jesus. What does Jesus say? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is an important command for us then in the whole of our lives, for how we relate to other people wherever we are, whether that's in our homes or in the workplace, or in the church, or in our Christian schools. That's why it's called the Golden Rule. It's a command for all of life. This is a summarizing word for the Christian life because this kind of life reflects the love of God. We have to understand that from the very outset. The command in verse 12 follows from what has gone before in Matthew 7. In the verses before in Matthew 7, Jesus reminds us of the love of our Heavenly Father for us, that He is a Father who provides for us everything that we need. When we ask for the things that we need, He answers and gives to us those things that we need. And the ultimate reminder of that was what we remembered this morning in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. He has given to us our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the point that we must see tonight is that those who know the love of God in Jesus Christ will live that in their lives. They will live that in this particular way. The text begins with the word therefore, ties it to what has gone before. Because we know the love of God, His perfect care for us, this then is how we will live. We will do unto others as we would have them do unto us. This is a life that is molded and shaped in the image of Jesus Christ, which reflects the love that God has shown to us in Him. That's why it's fitting tonight for us to look at this passage, this verse, as an applicatory sermon. It sets before us how we are to live out of the knowledge of God's love in Jesus Christ that we remembered and we celebrated this morning in the sacrament. So we keep that in mind this evening as we look at this text under the theme, the golden rule for loving the neighbor. Look first at the beautiful idea, secondly at the biblical source, and then thirdly at the necessary life. First, to understand the golden rule, we must understand that Jesus gives this golden rule to the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That's the broader context of what we read here in Matthew 7. That takes us back to the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus addresses the citizens of that kingdom and sets before us certain characteristics of every citizen of the kingdom of heaven. The citizen of the kingdom of heaven is characterized by this. He or she is poor in spirit. He or she is one who mourns. He or she then is meek. Why is that? all those fit together. That we're poor in spirit means that we're poor spiritually. We're poor in our sin, and because we're poor in our sin, we mourn, we weep. We weep because of the greatness of our sin before the living God, and that is exactly what humbles us before God. And knowing that, then, Jesus says that the citizens of the kingdom are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We hunger and thirst for the righteousness found alone in Jesus Christ. And we live out of that. So that blessed are the poor and blessed are the peacemakers. Those are other characteristics of the citizens of the kingdom. We are such citizens of the kingdom because of the saving work of Jesus Christ. Not only because of His death and resurrection, but because He has given us His Spirit. He's renewed us by His Spirit. He's made us new. So we are citizens of the kingdom. This Word of God tonight comes to us as citizens of the kingdom. That's important because you find in many different philosophies in the world, many different religions of the world, one form or another of this golden rule. But the reality is, there is no other religion in which this golden rule of the Lord Jesus Christ can be kept. It can only be kept by God's people. That's important for us to understand because then that controls the way in which we're going to understand this golden rule. There are wrong ways to understand it. We can understand that wrongly when we go to the golden rule with a selfish perspective or a self-centered perspective. That's the way in which the world would look at it. If you ask people in the world, there may be plenty of people who know what the golden rule is and they're able to recite it. But the reality is they're going to view it wrongly because they don't know the love of God in Jesus Christ. But now the question is for us. Do we view it rightly, or do we at times abuse the golden rule? The golden rule here that Jesus sets before us must not be viewed from a self-centered perspective. One of those self-centered perspectives is this. The golden rule is not teaching that I become the standard of right and wrong. We must not use the golden rule to justify sin. That can happen in this way. That we think, following the golden rule, the words that are found of Jesus here, that, well, in this particular situation, you know, I wouldn't mind it if someone lied to me. Or, in this particular situation, I really wouldn't mind if someone spoke harshly to me. Not speaking the truth in love, maybe speaking truth, but doing so in a harsh and abrasive and a hard way. I wouldn't mind that right now, so therefore, I'm going to do that to someone else. See, what happens then in that instance is we make the golden rule subject to what we determine to be right and wrong. And that's not the right way to look at the golden rule. That's a selfish perspective, self-centered perspective. It's not looking at it from the perspective that it's come from our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the one who tells us what is right and wrong. We must view it from the viewpoint of God's love. The other way in which we might view this from a selfish or self-centered perspective is more of a manipulative viewpoint. If I do nice things for others, they're going to return that to me and they're going to do nice things for me. That's not love. That's manipulation. That's selfishness. I'll do nice things to others and they'll do nice things for me. I'll be nice to mom when I want something from her and she'll give me what I want. I'll do something nice for my spouse. We have ulterior motives. We want something our way. But that's not the command that Jesus gives us here tonight. We must not look at it from that self-serving perspective. Because if we do, we're not going to live by this golden rule in the end. Because we're going to do nice things for others and they're not going to return it to us. Because they're sinful just as we are. And then when we see that, we're going to say, well, what's the use of doing it anyway? And then we're going to turn away from this and not think about this golden rule at all. The viewpoint of the golden rule is true love and concern for others. And this is the idea of the golden rule. what helps me to see how I should treat others is I must first think how I would like to be treated if I were in their shoes right now. I'll say that again. It's so important to understanding the text. What helps me to see how I am to treat others is by looking at myself. If I were in their shoes, how would I want to be treated according to the Word of God? If I were walking in sin like they are, how would I want to be treated as God says in His Word? How would I want to be treated in love? If I'm doing something foolish, how would I want to be treated in love? And that's what I must do to them. So now let's look at this positively. What's Jesus teaching in this command? First, He is teaching us to esteem others better than ourselves. He's teaching us to think about what is best for others. We might say, of course, we know that. We're to esteem others better than ourselves. That's what we read in the book of Philippians. That's what true love is all about. But we have to understand here that Jesus, when He speaks here to us and says to us that we are to do unto others as we would have them do to us, that He's putting His finger upon a double standard that operates often in our own lives. And that double standard is this: that when it comes to me, I better be treated in a right way by others. But when it comes to others and how I treat them, I might not be as concerned about that or concerned about that at all. When it's my reputation and my name and my sin, things better be done in a right way. I better be treated with kindness and love and respect and gentleness. We demand that of others, that we be treated in that way. But when it comes to others, we're not as concerned about that. I remember once having that a young man came and talked to me about that, how others were mistreating him. He was appalled by that. He wanted to call them all hypocrites. On Facebook, there are attacks that coming upon him for things he did, for the way he dressed, whatever it may be. And I could sympathize with him. You're right. That's not right for you to do. But let me ask you, you have younger brothers. Have you ever been mean to them? Well, yeah. Well, doesn't that make you a hypocrite too? I believe he understood the point. We have to understand the point too. And that is, when it comes to ourselves, we can be outraged at the way that we're treated. Are we just as outraged at the way that we sometimes treat others? That's what Jesus is pointing out here to us. We must not have that double standard in which we elevate ourselves above others. But instead, we are to treat others with kindness and love and respect, as our Lord Jesus Christ calls us to do in His Word. Our perspective must not be selfish. Our perspective must not be that when it comes to other people and the things that they do, that we say, I have absolutely no patience for that. For example, some people might be very punctual. They may always be on time, but there are other people who are late. So they have a meeting arranged, and someone who maybe is constant late comes to that meeting late. And that person can be quite angry about that. I would never do that to someone else. I would never be late for a meeting or an appointment. Okay, that may be. Maybe that's not a particular struggle for you, and it could even be debated whether or not that's sin. It could be or it could not be. But what about other areas of our lives? We fail to look at those things. We puff ourselves up in our pride and think, I would never do that. I would never be like that. I have no patience for that kind of thing. That shows pride. That shows we don't understand our own sinfulness, and it shows we don't understand what Jesus says to us here. That we are to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Jesus here in the passage does not limit this, where this is to be done. Notice that. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. There are no limits here. In all relationships, in everything that happens with other people, this is how we are to treat others, as we would like to be treated by them according to God's Word. This applies to all relationships. It applies to the relationship we have with our spouse. It applies to the relationship we have with our children. It applies to the relationship we have with our parents. It applies to the relationship that we have with friends. It applies to the coworker. It applies to our boss. It applies to our employee. And it applies to our next door neighbor as well. And that means we are to view people in a right way. What is that way? Well, first of all, within the church, we are to see one another as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We must view ourselves from a Christ-centered perspective. What's that perspective? Well, it's seeing and understanding that within each one of us as God's people, there is the work of Jesus Christ and His Spirit. So that when we don't live by this golden rule and we're hurting other people, it's not just we're hurting people. It's an attack on Christ Himself, on Christ as He's working in that person. How often do we think of that? Do you think of your spouse that way? As someone in whom the life of Jesus Christ exists and in whom the Spirit is working. We are to love and serve that person, that spouse, as one who belongs to Jesus Christ. Of course, that doesn't apply to everyone. There are those in the world in whom the Spirit of Christ does not dwell, but yet we're called to reflect to them the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ, so that even through that, they may be gained to Christ. They should see in us the love of Christ. See, Jesus doesn't limit it. It's not just to those within the church, but it's to all, even those outside of the church. We're to show this love and this care and this concern, doing unto them as we would have them do unto us. So someone cuts us off in the road, and we're ready to do something. We have to think of the golden rule. When someone at work is completely inconsiderate of you, and is even attacking you because of your beliefs in the Lord Jesus Christ, how you respond should be a reflection of the love of Jesus Christ for us. Jesus here is pointing out to us that we must esteem others better than ourselves, and there's no limit to that. The second thing that Jesus emphasizes here is activity. There's a verb here, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. We shouldn't think that just because we don't do something to someone, that we've kept them the golden rule, but Jesus Christ calls us to activity. And the activity that He's calling us to here is helping and serving others. He's saying we must do something to help them, to build them up, and to encourage them. Jesus calls us to this important activity. He calls us to that as one who Himself was active in love. He gave Himself for us. He actively loved us by dying on the cross for our sins. And now He says, reflect that, live that out in your own lives. There's so many ways in which we can think of this and can apply this in our own lives. One of the ways that I thought of is in our home. I don't know how it goes in your homes, but I think usually a lot of things are often the same. But after supper time, when the table has to be cleared up, or before supper time, when the table has to be set, and mom needs a little help with doing those things, sometimes a couple of the kids might try to sneak off and not help at doing some of those chores and those jobs. Or they may complain about it, or say, I've got so much homework to do, and I've got these other things to do. Take that just one instance. What does it mean to take this golden rule and apply it to those circumstances and those times in our family lives? Usually what we do is we think about ourselves, what I want at that time. I don't have time for this right now. But instead, the golden rule says, well, we think about others, how we can help and serve others. So kids, here's an opportunity for you to say, what would I like if I were in mom's shoes right now? Would I like to sit with my hands in the dishes for a half hour? Would I like to be packing up all these things by myself? No. And so there's an instance for us to live that golden rule out. Or fighting over a toy. Kids fight over toys sometimes. How do we live out this golden rule? It's not, well, just stop fighting. No, that's not living by the golden rule. But how do I love? What would I like if I were in the shoes of the other right now? And I would like to play with that toy. And so, if there's anything we should be fighting about as kids, it's, no, you have it. No, you have it. That, of course, usually doesn't happen. But when we live by the golden rule, we're thinking of others. Here, no, you play with it, and when you're done, I will gladly have it when you're finished. We're playing with a Wii game or video game or whatever it may be. But that applies to marriage and our own marriages. That we are to think of others. The spouse that God has given to us. What's best for him or her. When there's a new kid that comes to school and maybe they dress a little differently or they act a little differently or their hair is combed a little bit differently or whatever. And we want to point those differences out. Jesus speaks here and says, no, do unto him, do unto her, as you would have that person do unto you if you were in that same situation. We must do good to one another. How much are we thinking about this golden rule? Jesus says this is how we are to live. We're to be active. We're to live with this viewpoint, esteeming others better than ourselves. Now, as Jesus speaks this here, he's saying, now this is not something new. He says, for this is the law and the prophets. This golden rule is rooted in the whole teaching of Scripture. There's a biblical source for this command that Jesus gives here. That biblical source is the law and the prophets. And what Jesus is referring to here is the entirety of the Old Testament Scriptures. It's the full revelation of God up until this point where Jesus is speaking at this time. Now you should understand that Jesus is addressing something specific with his golden rule as he says, for this is the law and the prophets. Remember that in his audience were Pharisees. These Pharisees were experts in the Old Testament Scriptures. And Jesus is saying to these experts in the Old Testament Scriptures, you've missed something. That would have been outrageous to them, but that's what Jesus is saying. You've missed something fundamental in the Old Testament Scriptures. He says to those Pharisees, you have not been concerned about others. You've just been concerned about keeping a bunch of laws. We know, of course, the Pharisees were sticklers for keeping the Old Testament laws and many other laws that they had added to them. And they thought by keeping all of those commandments, the letter of the law, that they were doing what God had commanded them to do. But Jesus says, no, you've missed something. What you've missed is loving the neighbor. What you've missed is being concerned about others. There are many instances of that in Jesus' own ministry where that was on full display. Think about those times when Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. Jesus did this amazing good work. He healed a man who was lame, sitting by the pool of Bethesda, and told him to pick up his bed and walk. And he did. But the Pharisees were outraged by that. Why? Because for them it was all about keeping their particular laws, and they failed to see something important. That Jesus had done a work of love and service by healing that man. Of course, that was a picture of what he would do on the cross for his people, but they had failed to see that. Jesus in that work was serving others. They should have rejoiced in that, especially as those who knew the Old Testament Scriptures. Jesus is saying, I'm not teaching something brand new here, but instead this is something that is found throughout the Old Testament, and it is. Let me give to you a couple of examples of that. I'll point you first of all to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, verses 11 and following. There God in the book of Leviticus speaks to how they are to relate to the neighbor. It says in verse 11, ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. You find in verse 13, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Verse 14, thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear thy God. I am the Lord. And so on. There are more laws like that. But then you go to verse 18. We read there, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. There it is. Very clear. Love your neighbor. Jesus saying to Pharisees, you've forgotten that. What about us? Have we forgotten that? That's the heart of what Jesus is teaching here in the Golden Rule. You also find that, for example, in the book of Zechariah. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, we read there, these are the things that ye shall do, speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor, execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. So he says there, let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. The positive is, love your neighbor. In our adult Bible study, we've been studying the book of Nehemiah. One of the things that we've seen in the book of Nehemiah is that after the people returned to Jerusalem, there was still a lot of sin. And one of the sins there is that they were not loving their neighbors. The rich in Israel were taking advantage of the poor. When the poor couldn't pay their debts, they would enslave them, contrary to what God's law said. In addition, the rich were charging usury, either too much interest or charging interest where they shouldn't have been charging interest on those who were poor, who needed money to pay their debts, their bills. The rich were taking advantage of the poor, and Nehemiah rebuked them, and they needed to be rebuked because they were not loving the neighbor. This command that Jesus gives here in the Golden Rule is not something brand new, but you find it throughout the Scriptures. Not only did the Pharisees miss that, but what they missed is how that's related to the Gospel. The Pharisees missed the truth of the Gospel in the Old Testament. You see, the law that God gave was not just about specific commands. The law was always related to the Gospel. That was evident from the ceremonial laws. God gave laws for how the people were to celebrate the feasts. He gave laws for the sacrifices, and all of those laws pointed to Christ. Every sacrifice that they burned on the altar was pointing to Christ, to the Savior who would come to save His people from their sins, as God had promised to His people throughout the Old Testament. All of the feasts pointed ahead to the coming Messiah who would save His people from their sins. Even the Ten Commandments pointed to that, which we heard tonight. How do the Ten Commandments begin? They don't begin, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." That's not the beginning of the Ten Commandments. The beginning is, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I brought you out of bondage." That's gospel. That's the good news. That's God saying to us, "I brought you out of the bondage of sin. Now this is how you live." Jesus is saying here that the golden rule that He sets before them and us is the practical application of the law and the prophets, is the application of the very gospel that we love. We are to love and serve others. That's important. Because sometimes someone might be asked, "Do you love God?" He says, "Oh, of course I love God." "How's that seen in your life?" "Well, I go to church and I pray to God, and I confess the truth of His Word." Wonderful. All those things matter. And those things are important. But Jesus says the Christian life is more than that. It's more than that. Those who know God's love and those who love God show that in their lives by doing unto others as we would have them do unto us. Those who know the Gospel live it in their lives by loving others. What about us? In our lives, would there be enough evidence to convict us day by day that it's evident we know the love of God by how we treat others? The law and the prophets are the source of this. They declare to us this very command that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us. But it's more than that. The law and the prophets empower us to follow this golden rule. We cannot of ourselves. Those selfish views that I talked about earlier, we still struggle with those, but that's where we would be of ourselves. We'd be all about ourselves. We would do nice things for others to get them to do nice things for us. We would make our own standard of what is right and wrong and then use that standard in our dealing with other people. That's how we would live out that golden rule. We still battle against that selfishness, but without the work of God within us, that's where we would be. We would be all about ourselves. But how miserable it is to live in such a way. Think about a marriage in which husband and wife are only about themselves. Think about a home in which parents and children are only about themselves. Think about children in the home who are only about themselves. We don't have to think very long about it to know what that's like because we all struggle with it. And it's all very real in our own lives. But we have to remember that God calls us to love no matter what. In our marriages, that's what we vowed to do. I will love no matter what. How can we do that? We cannot do that in our own strength. We do that because of what God has worked in us. The law and the prophets point out to us that the only thing that changes us is God and His grace. We are saved from our sins in Jesus Christ. He saved us from the punishment of our sin by His death on the cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ renews us by the working of His Spirit within us so that we are freed from serving ourselves, and now we are enabled to serve the One who died for us, who gave His life for us, and who arose again for our salvation. The result of God's work in us is that we love God and the neighbor. The result of God's work in us is that we follow this golden rule in the way that Jesus meant it. In the way that Jesus meant it. That we esteem others, and that we're active in loving others as well. This is the life that our Lord Jesus Christ enables us to live. So there's hope for us as we struggle to live this golden rule. And then we see tonight as well then that that's the necessary life that we must live. And that's how, where we see that the text that we look at tonight is connected with the verses that go before it. The word therefore in the text is so important. It points us to the verses that go before. In those verses, the command is given to us to ask and to seek and to knock. The Word of God there is commanding us to pray to Jesus, to pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray to God asking for the things that we need, and we can have the assurance that God will give to us exactly what we need. And then Jesus there uses the illustration of an earthly father. If your children come to you, fathers, and ask for bread, you're not going to give them a stone. If they come and ask for a fish, they come and ask for food, you're not going to give them a snake. But instead, you're going to give, as an earthly father, the things that they need. Now, if we who are imperfect fathers do that, will not our Heavenly Father do that? He will give us all that we need. Jesus' point is that our Heavenly Father perfectly loves us. And in His love, He does not hold back anything that we need. He's not a stingy Father. But instead, He's a Father who pours out upon us everything that we need. And the evidence of that is what we remembered this morning in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the very idea of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Yes, the broken bread poured out wine, pointing us to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but it's more than that. It's saying to us, in Jesus Christ is found everything that we need. God has given to us in Him everything that we need so that we're freed from the punishment of sin, so that we have life everlasting with God. In Christ we have an all-sufficient Savior. We see in Him the evidence of God's perfect
love. Now, because we know that and believe that, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to us and says, therefore, knowing that, therefore, this is how you live. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Live in love and peace with others in the church and in your homes and in the world as well, reflecting the love that God has shown to you in Jesus Christ. This is necessary to live. It's necessary to live because we know the gospel of Jesus Christ. Living such a life is not easy. The principle, what we have here in the text, is easy to understand. It's simple from that perspective, but that does not make it easy to do. In fact, as we've been reminded tonight, we cannot do this in our own strength. The grace of God is alone what enables us to live this life. May we be encouraged tonight. I hope this word does for you what it's done for me, and by the Spirit it will. It'll show us where we've fallen far short. We'll see many times where we've not thought about the golden rule. We know it so well. How many times have we as parents spoken it to our kids and said, what does Jesus say? What does Jesus say? And we've quoted it. Now we need to take the time as parents to teach our children what that means in the particular instances that they face when they're fighting over a toy or they're fighting at the bathroom door about who gets it or whatever it may be. But it has to go beyond that. It's not, I have it all figured out and you guys have to learn. We must come to the understanding we don't have this all figured out. And in many ways, we're probably not living this like we ought to. The Word is convicting that way. It hurts that way. But we have to leave tonight with the assurance and confidence that there is power and strength to live this and to grow in this in our lives. And that's because the Lord Jesus Christ works in us by His Spirit. So may we go forth in this week serving. Serving God by serving each other. Motivated by thankfulness for all that God's given to us in Jesus Christ. And may we, young and old, do unto others as we would have them do unto us. May we live by this golden rule. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for this word that Thou hast given us tonight, the instruction that we need. What a powerful word it is. We pray that Thou will give us hearts that are receptive to it. Now, through the powerful work of the Spirit, give us the ability to apply that to life, to the circumstances in which we find ourselves, that we may live this out in our marriages, we may live this out in our homes, we may live this out in the schools, we may live this out in the workplace, and all because we desire, Father, to give thanks unto Thee for Thy perfect love that we've seen and know in Jesus Christ. Strengthen us, Father. Sanctify us, so that we may truly love and serve others. And may we have the ability to put away